This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Welcome. I hope you're all doing all right. I have had quite a week and quite a morning. You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown, and with me, it's the working girl. Numbers is her high, but emceeing is her do or die. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello, good afternoon.
Did you like that intro?
It's very nice, different.
I tried to go a bit professional. So I was thinking this morning, I've had a bit of a thing with the changing rooms is my theme. So both boys, I'm just changing. So both boys are just like wetting the bed on and off, they're taking turns. So I was just changing the sheets. This morning we went swimming and I realised two things of this week. What I don't miss about coming out of lockdown is going swimming with the kids, like the changing rooms and all that hell that comes with it, and like, oh, it's a squashed and you can't get changed,
it's hot,
your dry clothes are getting wet on the floor. And then earlier this week I went to try and find some new clothes and I went into a fitting room for the first time in about a year and a half. Yeah, as our guests would say, Mama, don't look so good. I'm going to get to that in a minute because I love she uses Mama, which I want to now use. So today we are mega excited as our guest is joining us in New York. She's an author who, before this book, her writing credits mainly consisted of PTA newsletters, am I right? And yep. Program notes for the school talent shows. Very important to get them right. Then after 27 years of marriage and three kids and the shock discovery of her husband's affair, came her debut book, Available, a memoir of dating and sex after marriage end. Please welcome Laura Friedman Williams.
Hello. I'm so bloody happy to be here. Let's see how many times I can use the word bloody in this conversation.
It sounds so funny when you say it.
It did. It didn't sound natural. I got to get you better with it.
No, it was great. I bloody loved it.
But anyway, welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now, oh my God, so much to say. I literally feel like, because I haven't listened to your book on audio.
Yeah.
I've got that thing that we often have with guests where I've listened to their books. Like I've been living with you.
Yes. And literally. Seeing like me basically run naked down the street is what you've been doing.
Yes. Yes. I feel like I've been having a coffee with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been having it because like literally I'm having a coffee and I'm putting you on in the kitchen and I'm having a shower with you. And I was thinking about you this morning because I was thinking about the whole bald situation.
Yes, sure.
But anyway, we will. So I'm sure you've been doing lots of podcasts and interviews and things. So we'll try and make things a little bit different, maybe.
Well, already it's different because it's funny. They're almost always very serious. So
oh, really, okay.
Yes, I hope I've been good company to you. And I'm super excited just to do something fun because I mean, we talk about fun. I always talk about fun. We get there, but first we talk about the sad stuff, you know, the hard stuff, the grieving. And I'm not saying there's not time and a place for that because there is, but you know, I'm here to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm here to have a good time, girls.
But well, that I can agree on from the book. You're very funny. You came to us via Viv and we respect Viv Groskot's recommendation. She's like she's a regular, basically.
She's our mentor, isn't she?
We always say she's like our mentor.
That. Or non-paying sponsor.
We love her. It's all about lifting women. Okay, so to give us all a picture, how old are your children now?
They're okay. So my daughter's 21, my son is 18, and then the youngest daughter is 11.
She's 11. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, different world to me and Gemma at the moment. I can't believe this is the first thing you've written, because it's so brilliantly written and everything. So I'm just visualizing. I'm there. You visualize it so beautifully. And
thank you.
Is this the first, did you do anything at school or anything? Got some prize for like writing a short story at school or something?
Oh, when I was 15, I got the Creative Writer of the Year award.
Yes,
she did.
Of course she did.
So that was 35 years ago. Yes. And I got a copy of the Adrian Mole Diaries as a prize. And I still have it. So that was my biggest achievement in writing. So this was really my first book, and I worked really hard on it, but I also had a great editor who helped me revise it. So, I mean, yeah.
So was it like a lot of people say with stand up and stuff, like, was it something that was just in the back of your mind and you almost didn't know it was there until you were given permission, like with your friend saying, you must write all this down? Was it a bit like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I think I've always liked to write, you know, it's always been very easy for me to sit down and put my feelings into words.
Right.
And when I first started writing the book, it was really sort of a Sex and the City for like the middle-aged set, you know, to write about dating after divorce. And it was all a lot of really funny stories because funny things were happening to me. You know, I mean, if you think breaking a rib is funny or having like a dog basically in the bed with you when you're having sex with somebody. If you think that's funny, then I was down with it. But what happened was that I realized that I really wanted to be real and authentic. And that meant that I also had to disclose the pain of the situation and how hard it was to be a parent through it. So when I started writing, a lot more came out very differently than I had intended.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
In what way did it come out different than?
Well, I wanted to be funny. I just wanted to be. I think I'm funny. Yeah. My kids correct me all the time and tell me I'm not actually funny, that nobody laughs louder at my jokes than myself. And I thought it was going to be just a funny story, you know, collection of anecdotes about, you know, life in the big city as a 40s woman, single and on the town. So I just think that the seriousness of it, you know, the depth that I really had to get to say, why was I having sex with so many men? Like, what was the dating all about for me? It wasn't just about having, I mean, rediscovering myself sexually. Those things were true, but there was something else happening. And I really wanted to understand how it fed into my growth as a woman, as a writer, and it all worked together. So I would say that's how it was very different than my intention. My intention was just to be funny.
Yeah, you were just like, people need to hear about me. I mean, doing these great, like you said, oh God, yeah, I remember the rib breaking.
That was really, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was, I mean, when we talk about like, you know, scooping poo out of the toilet or out of the bathtub with your kids and, you know, you're having-
What are you doing, Laura, with your poo? Why?
I haven't done that yet. I haven't had to do that. But it was the same thing when I fell on the floor in this man's bathroom and like the shower curtain came down on me and I landed in the trash can and I had like Q-tips and, you know, wet tissue stuck to me. It was the same moment of like, how gross, how do I get out of this? Like,
actually being a mother, you know, all this probably helped you out. Nothing freaked you out. Maybe this is why guys find mum sexy. Yeah.
Right. We got it. We know what to do. We almost always know what to do.
Oh, for me, and I want Gemma to jump in, and I know she's being quiet, and I don't know how much you two talked off air before I joined you, because obviously I am not in the position of going out dating again, but Gemma is, or I'm trying to get her to.
She's shaking her head.
I'm shuddering at that. Just every time whenever anybody asks me and says, so, you know, what do you think about dating? My stomach just drops about an inch. Just goes, ugh.
Why? What is it? Like fear? Just disgust?
Oh, fear. Fear.
Just 100% fear.
Absolute. Just fear of, and kind of apathy, or fear as apathy, really. You know, pretending to be apathy. And Wow. I don't know. I mean, you know, listening to your book, I've also been listening to it rather than reading it. I think, oh, I can't do that. I can't just, even it's that initial thing. And I, you know, I loved how it began. It was straight in there and it was just like, right. Okay. You know, and I just, I went out one night, you know,
It makes me feel guilty as a friend, because one of the things I'm, you know, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, because I started the book a long time ago and then I had a bit of a break, come back to it. But it was your friends that were like, get out there, Laura.
Yeah.
And I now think, oh God, you know, I mean, which is still early days for Gemma. You know, that was sort of, what was it, 5 months or something?
Yeah.
They said, get out there. And I think maybe it is one of those things, the longer you leave it, the harder it is. And I I should have said to Gemma, get out there.
But, you know, I think what's hard is nobody can do it but yourself. Like, even if you have the best cheer squad in the world, you still are sitting at that bar by yourself or maybe with a friend. So you really have to do it yourself. I think for me, the fear, I hear what you're saying about the fear, Gemma, but I also think that for me, I had a bigger fear, which was that I would never get back out there. And that fear drove me to get back out there, more than the fear of what it would be when I got there. And once I did it once, I thought, okay, I actually went, the first time I went out, it was so spur of the moment. And it was such a strange experience for me. It was the first time in 27 years or more, you know, that I'd been going on a date. The last time I had been on a date, I wasn't even legal yet. I mean, I couldn't have even entered a bar. I was 20 years old. Wow. So, I was really scared, and I thought, well, I'll just act the part. Like, whatever I think a woman out, a divorcee on the town on a Saturday night, I'm going to play her. Mm-hmm. And let's see how I do. And I just sort of, I was almost like an outer body experience. I sort of was like, I will let your body go and be there and be the voice. Your brain is somewhere 100 miles away, you know? And so if you can almost detach from yourself a little bit, to make yourself go out there and not just, it's almost like it's not yourself. You're just playing the role of Gemma, the single woman on a Saturday night.
Oh, I can detach from myself. That's fair. 5 years of marriage.
You get up on marriage.
Yeah. I was detached from myself.
See, so you know how to do it. You already know how to do it. You already know how to leave your body. Oh, just make sure your body make sure your body's well groomed. Right, and has the right lingerie on, and then leave it, you know, get out there and leave it.
You were so clear with what your intentions were, or as far as you knew with the guys. And so I thought I was going on a date last year, and it didn't seem to be that way with the guy. I mean, he didn't turn up. That was the truth of it. Oh.
Well, that's a pretty big problem on a date. If you're by yourself.
So maybe this wasn't a date then, because none of us had said this is a date, you know. So
yeah, that's a pretty big problem. I'll give you that. But that's one time. You can't use that. That's not going to be your measuring stick. You're going to do 100 before you decide that you have a measuring stick.
Yes.
I also, the first time I went out, my intention was not clear to me at all. My intention was like, you're out. You're going to drink. Yeah. You're going to have a drink. And basically your intention is you're not going to sit home and feel sorry for yourself. That's pretty much the only intention here. The fact that I closed the deal was icing on the cake, because it was like, I was like, oh my God, this can happen. This is totally doable. There's people out there that are not repelled by me. I have also been verified now, you know, that my everything is working, everything's intact, and I bloody love it.
You know? I mean, I think for me, the thing that fascinates me, that sound like, oh, very English, like, oh, very fascinates me, is the, that I think, and again, I really want to be corrected, and I don't know if this is just British to a New York thing as opposed to American, but I feel like myself or any of friends I know, like, whether it be dating before marriage and kids, don't really go to a bar on their own. I mean, I do all the time because I have to. I perform in pubs. I feel like a lot of women I know are really funny about going to a bar on their own, which I think is stupid. I don't think we should be like that.
I know. I just never would have done it myself. I never would have thought to do it myself. I'd never done it before in my life, and I never would have thought to do it. But it just seemed like, I mean, that's, you know, I was available on a Saturday night. It just seemed like that was where I could go. I couldn't go to like the bookstore. Right.
But you didn't feel like, oh, I must take a girlfriend with me as like a wing woman or anything like that. It wasn't, you were fine to go on your own, obviously.
I just didn't have a choice. Sometimes that's really the answer, right? I mean, I was upstate New York. I wasn't in the city. I was upstate because that's where our country house is. Mm. And I don't have that many friends up there because it's our secondary home. It's not our primary home. So it was really like, you either go by yourself or you don't go. Mm. And so I went by myself. I just did it. I didn't think too hard about it. I didn't plan it. It was like, it happened, you know, over like an hour process of my sitting in my bedroom by myself while my youngest daughter was with her dad somewhere else in the house. And they went out for a bike ride. And I just thought, what am I doing here? You know, like everybody's moving on with their lives. And yeah. I'm sitting in a bedroom by myself. And it's like my marital bedroom. And it's the bedroom where I found out about his affair. Mm. No, thank you. I got to get out of here. And yeah. So the fact that I was alone was really, truly the least of my problems. You know, the biggest of my problems was that I was in this situation, that I was single at 47 when I was supposed to be married for the rest of my life. Mm, that was my bigger problem. So I think I'd already felt like, well, you never thought you'd be here and survive. So you may as well try the next step.
Well,
I
meant to say at the beginning, but like I felt at the end of the book, I said to my husband, I said, I feel really sad because I feel like because it's over, my little journey with her is over. And I said, and I feel really proud of you, but not in it. And I like, I want to give you a hug, but not in a patronizing way or
thank
anything,
you.
But
thank
just
you.
Like, oh, so proud of you. And yeah,
thank you.
I do feel like you're my new friend now and you don't even know it.
No, I know. I feel it, Hattie. I feel it. I feel like I love that. I do love it. And it makes me so happy. But I do think that women have to just tell each other. I hear stories all the time about, you know, the horrors of dating and the horrors of midlife dating and the guys that are out there, but it's not the whole story. There's plenty of good people out there. It's just like anything. I mean, if you were in a room full of 100 women, you wouldn't want many of them to be your friends, but you might find one and that's all you need. You just need that one. You find your person and, you know, and that's an it for now. And also, Gemma, I have to say one of the very important things is set your expectations so low. Because if you have very low expectations, pretty much anything you do is a success.
Yes.
And so you have to really set the bar low. If I was looking for like a great eligible man on my first night, I would have been like beating myself up, but I wasn't. I was looking for somebody who wanted to sleep with me.
Right.
And that was, and I found that. And he was lovely. So I got lucky. I got bonus points. He had hair on his head. he had hair in all the right places, let's just say.
Can I ask you about the sex, Laura?
Sure.
Were you into sex when you were married?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It was a chore. It was 100% a chore.
All right.
I mean, okay. In the early days, I'm sure I liked it. I think I liked it up until the point that I was trying to get pregnant for the first time. I think that was when everything changed for me. When I was like in my late 20s, I was struggling with infertility. And so sex had become like planned chore.
Yeah.
And there was one day particularly, I had fallen on the street and broken my elbow. And my husband came home to take me to the emergency room. But we had like an artificial insemination for the next day. And the doctor had told us to have sex the night before. So I'm lying on the couch, like mangled. My husband walks in and I'm like, you have to have sex with me right now. And he was like, I can't. And I was like, no, you can and you will. Climb on. Let's go. And I like positioned my arm so he would climb away. And I honestly attribute that. I was probably 27, 28 years old. That was the beginning of my decline of sex in my married life. I never improved from there for the next 20 years.
Wow.
I did go on to get pregnant. I had 3 babies. But sex never improved between us. When we had sex, it was quite decent. I enjoyed it. It was fine. But it was like working up the energy to have it you know, and then wanting it to be done so quickly so I could just go to sleep. I was exhausted. So no, married sex is not like unmarried sex. I think they're in very different categories. That's the upside, Gemma. That is the upside right there.
I think you, I want to be careful what I say because I do think Gemma, you need an awakening, Gemma, don't you?
I do think I need an awakening. Yeah, I do. There's something, I remember Carrie Bradshaw, not that I want to make this kind of Sex and the City-ish, but I remember her saying when she flew to California to go and see Big, and she said, I just want to feel the weight of a man on me. You know, he doesn't need to do anything. He just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's more of the, Do you know what it is? And it's the attention. That's what, when I've had snippets of attention over the last few years from men, that I've really enjoyed it. That's what I've enjoyed. And it's not so much kind of like, oh, I want to have sex in that voice as well. You know, it's just
that. I mean, that might be where she's going wrong.
Do you want to have sex with me?
So now we know the problem. We can diagnose the situation right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I love the attention. I love it.
I do too. I agree with you. I love it too. And there's nothing wrong with that. It makes you feel good. I mean, and nobody, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to, you know, insist on every man sleep with you on the first date just because you've got to get it out of your system. Remember, I was with this man for 27 years. Yeah. I had a long spell. Like when I discovered that I liked sex again, I was like, oh my God, I'd forgotten that this was what sex could look like. I just had forgotten, but I love the attention too. And in fact, I even say now, like I've been with somebody, I've been dating this man who is so lovely and it's been 3 years and I will not commit to being monogamous because I still like the attention from other men. Yes. I still like it. And I maintain that I'm allowed to have it. I'm an independent woman and that's part of the prize of being an independent woman at the age of 51 is that I can say, I don't want to be monogamous and you can choose to be with me or not, because that may or may not be comfortable for you, but this is where I am. And so.
That's so exciting.
I'm leaning forward.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
Right. So let me tell you where I am. Okay. So I am 3 years separated. Divorced a couple of months, I think, but you know, it's 3 years separated. I've kind of been using the excuse of I'm still too angry and bitter to sit across the table from somebody. I knew it would just beam out of me. However, so I was just like, okay. So I went and got some therapy and I don't feel like I'm angry and bitter anymore.
Amazing. That's huge. So
I can
confirm she's not.
Right. Thank you.
She's so much a better person now.
So that's what I was using as the excuse for a while. The next thing was that then I joined a dating app a few months ago and I'm like, it's one of these ones where the women have to make the first move.
Oh, right? Yeah. Bumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fine. So I've got this great opening line because, you know, I'm funny. Yeah. You know. Yeah. And then as soon as they respond, I turn into the most boring version of myself imaginable. And I don't know what's wrong. I'm just like, who is this woman? Who is this boring woman? And so then I then started saying that. So good opening line, guy responds, and then me say, look, usually at this stage, I then turn into someone really boring and I don't really know what to do about it, thinking that's, you know, I'm being open and whatever.
Right.
And a few times a guy said, oh, we can jump on a video if you like. And I'm like, all right, pushy. So I just kind of, so it's like, they can't win. It's just, so I don't know.
It sounds like you have to get out of your head a little bit.
Yes, I do. I need to get out of my own way.
Yeah, and then maybe whatever you write, you should delete and then write it from the perspective of the person that you're trying to be in that moment. First of all, this is the best thing about dating apps and about getting to date again, getting to start again. You can be whoever you want to be. You can be totally out there. You can be really funny. If you want to be boring, be boring. You know, you just have to be the person you want to be. The best person to be is yourself because they meet you, they'll recognize you and they'll be like, oh, this is the person I was conversing with. Okay. I see her. I recognize her. But I think you got to get out of your own way. That's my best therapeutic advice to you is that it sounds like you're overthinking it and that you just got to let yourself be yourself. Just let your best self write those texts instead of the self that I think you're so worried about saying the wrong thing, maybe, or presenting yourself in a way that people are going to be like, that you feel like you're going to be funny and somebody's not going to get your sense of humor.
And if
they don't, then they're not for you anyway. True. Right?
And also the thing is as well, and you very much allude to this in your book that, I've only really got one evening a week that I can dedicate to this. So I feel like I put a lot of pressure on, well, this guy has to be someone that I'm willing to spend my one evening a week with.
Yeah, no, you,
and guess
you
what?
Have
that
to.
That guy doesn't exist, like you said earlier on. Yeah.
And I think not only does he not exist, but truthfully, out of every experience you have, you'll get some knowledge about yourself and about men. So it doesn't know, there's no such thing as a wasted night out, because you'll, it's like a fact finding mission. I treated it, because I'm a very like resourceful person. I attack everything like it's a big project. When I first started, I was like, I need to understand the male race of people. I need to understand this species, because clearly I thought I understood them, but the one who was attached to me walked out on me. So I understood, I clearly understood nothing. Let me start over again. And so every date I went on, even if I knew that I had no interest in the person, I asked questions. I was like a nosy reporter. I wanted to understand what made a successful marriage, what made a successful relationship, what men were looking for. You know, did they want relationships? Were they going to cook me a meal? Were they going to expect me to organize them? You know, it was like I treated every single one like it was part of a fact-finding mission. And in that case, there was, okay, it didn't always end in any kind of chemistry. And that was fine because I still was getting something. So I think if you just tone it down, you know, take it for what it is, just take it at face value. You can walk away saying, you know what? It was a success because I went.
Because you went. Yeah, exactly.
Like, see, I wasn't home.
That's such good advice.
I also joined. Did I tell you how to, I actually joined. So there's another one called Her for women only.
I don't know this one.
You know what? I'll give it a go.
Oh, yeah, we had a chat. We had a chat. Yeah, a couple of months ago, you went, I'm up for it.
Oh, God, they're worse.
Yeah.
They're worse.
Seriously? How so?
I join up with like half a profile. I'm like not even done. And they're like, instantly, it's just like, hello. It's just like 50 women from
fresh Kent, blood.
No offense. Like, just going, hello, where are you? And it's like, all right, lady. So
they would love you.
I mean, maybe you have to kick it old school and go to Tinder. I don't know. I mean, I know. Is Tinder a big thing in England, or is that more? Is,
I mean, are older people on that? I'm counting myself as an older person. No offense to anybody else who's on this call, but I thought that was for younger people.
That's what everybody says. And when I went on there, everybody said, what are you doing? That's just a hookup app. And I was like, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah,
correct.
What do you think? Yeah. I want another husband? I just finally learned how to live one without one. I never want one again. I'm looking to hook up. That's all I want. I want experience. So no, there are plenty of people. Everybody lies about their age. You know, it's hilarious to me. I mean, men, even the men lie about their age because they want to get the younger women.
Right.
So that they won't match with the younger woman, you know, much younger woman if they put in their real age. So every age, you know, every person lies. But again, that I had some Tinder dates that I had, you know, it didn't turn into anything necessarily, but we certainly had a good time and I would do it again.
Which I was going to say, I got the vibe from the book that Tinder was your least favorite way of sort of dating, really, like finding someone.
I liked it for what it was in the beginning. It got me out there because there were so many men on there. And so it was almost impossible not to find a date. I mean, you'd have to be working hard to like not find somebody. You could find somebody. I know you
can. Yeah, actually, that's true.
I'm not on it yet.
I could tell. Yeah, Gemma will break the mold.
No, don't do it.
I could tell that you got I'll take some of that back because I could tell you got excited, which is what I got into a little bit previous to marriage, was, you know, that kind of like I'm not that bothered, and then that sneaky little look and you're just like flicking through like a catalogue, aren't you? It's just like,
it's so fun, and then when you get the likes, it's like a little adrenaline. That I didn't want that to be my future necessarily, but to get myself back out there again, it was perfect. It was totally anonymous. You do have to be, I don't want to be totally cavalier about it because I did have a really bad experience that I wrote about with the man that I met on Tinder, where I really felt I let myself be taken advantage of because I was so worried about how I would seem, that it was like, I was playing this role so effectively of the like voracious middle-aged sex fiend that I couldn't imagine, like, well, I put myself on Tinder. I presented myself this way. Now I have to follow through, even though I don't want to. And that also was a lesson I learned. So don't be stupid like I was, is all I'll say. If you go on Tinder and, you know, make sure you go to a public place and then decide if you want to go home with the person.
And you
make
always, sure... on all your dates, you always told a friend of yours, didn't
a girlfriend,
you?
That's really important. Although my friend and I laughed because, of course, I told her. And she was like, wow, that was really effective because I didn't know his name. I didn't know his phone number or address. So when I didn't hear from you, I panicked because all I thought I could do was go to the police station and say, my girlfriend is with somebody named number 8 in Harlem. You have to find her.
He's on the internet. Can you narrow it down?
He's on the World Wide Web.
He's on Tinder, and only she calls him number 8. Can you please?
I think he might have a big cock, maybe. I don't know.
Very big, very big. So she... Yeah. After that, I got a little smarter. Like I sent addresses or whatever so that she didn't have to be a fool going to the police station to find me. And it never happened again. But I did get choosier as time went on. And for me, because I found, you know, I was set up with somebody who I'd known in a previous life. It was not a blind date. It was somebody I'd known very well. We were both divorced and we got back together. And that ended up being a relationship that really stuck. But there's a time and a place for everything.
Is that the guy with the dog? No.
No, that was number 6 who cooks for me. And that was the keeper.
The one with the dog cracked me up because I'm
that
so
dog, no. That was
the early. That was early on, wasn't it? The guy the way he just like wouldn't let
the German Shepherd
the dog Shepherd. Stay in the bedroom, and he was like, "No, he's fine. He'd get upset if I send him out."
That dog was eyeing me, and I was like, "I can't." I kept opening my eyes and seeing that dog just standing by the side of the bed, like ready to attack.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. It's like a meet up with your favourite non-judgy mum mates.
Yeah. So, oh my God, we're going to have to wrap up soon. And unfortunately, where are we going to... So, writing-wise, where are we going now? I mean, is this open up, you know, are you going to write another book or something else? Or you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know what to do next. You know, I loved writing the book. I love writing. I write pieces on Medium, just personal essays, which I love doing. I have a lot more to say. Like I still think that I could write another book, but I haven't honed in yet on what it is that would be different. Right now I'm so focused on this book and I'm publicizing this book. And
of course,
life keeps going on, right? I mean, life goes on. Like my divorce is finally almost final. I sold our home. I'm renovating a new home. My son is in college. COVID happened. You know, that was something that was a big time suck for all of us. So I don't know. And I've had other things happen in my life that have been pretty seismic that I've thought about writing about, you know, in terms of lineage and parents and things like that. So I don't know what's next. I hope there'll be something because now I'm calling myself a writer. I definitely have imposter syndrome and I feel slightly absurd.
No.
I'm like, I'm going to do it anyway. I wrote a book that I think by just the definition that makes me a writer. So I feel like I want to just keep going down this path. I want to keep doing it.
Obviously, because as you said, you're in a relationship. Are you still in a relationship with number 6? Is that right?
6.
Yeah. But you are still open to having other things. So, I mean, there's more to write possibly in that
sense. There could be more to write. And now people can like Google me and see that I wrote this book and they'll be like, oh, this will be a fun date. I know.
Yes, of course.
She loves a one night stand. She's perfect. All you have to do is buy her a drink. I've revealed that of myself, but we have an understanding that this is just something that I might do. I don't think I would have 2 relationships. Like I'm in a relationship with him and I can't imagine like polyamory is a whole other thing where you're really engaged in relationships.
Yeah.
And that seems exhausting. Just exhausting. Plenty. Like having to check in with one person all day, make plans with one person for the following weekend. Like that is more than enough for me. I don't need that with another person at all. Polyamory seems like a tangled schedule nightmare, but I do want to, that the feeling, Gemma, that you're talking about where it just makes you feel so good just to be wanted. There's a newness. And I like, why shouldn't I have that? You know, I lost my marriage. I'm single. Why shouldn't I have that if I want it? And I'm with somebody who understands that that's a huge part of my life. So it's been a long dry spell because of bloody COVID.
So hard to date. Yeah. I mean, the dating scene is...
It's the pits. Because you're like, basically like, can we have sex with masks on? Like, can we do this without, you know? And that doesn't seem appealing to me. So even being wanted as much as I want to be wanted does not qualify that. So maybe now that it's, you know, hopefully soon the younger children, you know, my 11-year-old will be vaccinated. I'll be a little bit less worried about you know, COVID again, and that will be something I can engage in again. So we'll see, stay tuned. I mean, there might be a number, you know, there might be, the numbers might go up and they might not. Maybe I'll, maybe my next book will be about how I re-embrace monogamy. We don't know. Or maybe it'll be about Gemma's dating adventures. Maybe.
And I love a number.
Is there any chance, can we make Gemma make a promise on this podcast that she's going to go out? Can we do that? Can it, and then we can talk about it one day.
Yeah, please, Gemma.
You can do it. You've got this. Okay. I know you do. You're on the precipice. I can see it.
I think a new dating app, because I think, I mean, it's been a while, obviously, but when I even when I last did it, it seemed like the ones that you have to pay for are like a bit more serious. And that's, because you're not so interested in just getting your end away, are you?
No, but I'm also not interested in another marriage or a relationship.
That's true.
Or
so maybe you should just go on Tinder then and get your end away.
Right. Listen, nothing starts out as a relationship, right?
No.
Like you go on a first date and it's a date. That's all it is. And if it's going to be a relationship, it's going to evolve over time anyway. You just go in looking for whatever this is today. And you might want something else. I mean, this is why I also say I'll never live with a man again. Because if I ever have to extricate myself from a relationship, I just want it to be clean and easy.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
I've done the brutal
the hard work of that.
The hard work that I did to get divorced and the brutality of it, truthfully, is not for the weak. And I never want to do it again. I never want to be in a position in which I could get divorced again, which means I cannot get remarried.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. And I
love it.
And it's the same with cohabitation. I want my own space. And if something goes wrong, I want to just be able to say, I might mourn the relationship, but I'm not moving my stuff out and deciding who gets the dishes. I'm never doing that again. So don't, you know, I think if you go in just knowing this is just one night and maybe it'll turn into two nights or three nights and that will be a success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, we're comedians, Gemma, we always just find the funny as well. And it's like, even if it's a disaster, you've got a funny story.
Right. You've got material, right? Isn't that how you get material?
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you suggesting then? Do I do Tinder?
I don't know. I mean, Tinder, if you just want to get your feet wet,
Or something else,
no pun intended. I would say, go like, it's like dirty, just do the dirty and easy, you know, just like, oh my God,
is that an actual
flared.
App? Dirty and easy? Is that an actual app?
Oh my God,
right,
please.
That's my next project.
Dirty and easy. I'm writing that down. I'm making the app.
Wait, I've got it. Quick, dirty and cheap.
Yes.
Quick, dirty, and cheap. One drink. You don't have to buy me a meal. Extra. Go on Tinder. And just because you can make it happen the next, you know, night that you don't have your son, just do like one nice thing, like buy yourself a new thong or something that makes you know that you've got something going on underneath, just in case you want to take it further. And that's it.
Here's the plan. Top up my Botox. Go and then I'll go on Tinder.
You don't need to top up your Botox. You're good. You're good.
It's her new favorite thing. But she's had her teeth done lately. You are putting out the thing.
Of course, yeah.
But obviously, for you to feel good, I mean, because that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Of
obviously.
Course. Yeah.
Yeah, but when are you going to top up your Botox? You can't say that and then do it in 2 years.
No, I know. It's true.
You have to set a deadline.
Everything. And you've got a banging figure at the moment. Come on.
Nobody cares. That's the thing I discovered. Men don't care. One day after I've been already quite sexually active again, I was on top. And I happened to look down. I'd like to keep my eyes closed because I like to just like be, you know, it transported away. Detached, yes. I had to close my eyes so I can see myself from above. And I happened to open my eyes and I looked down and I was on top and my stomach was doing this creepy, crazy thing, you know, where it was like pooling together because it's like been stretched out so many times and it's come back together. And so I see it sort of like hanging there and I'm like, what is that? Is that a shadow or my actual stomach? I touched it because I was not convinced it wasn't a shadow and it wasn't, it was attached to me. And you know what? Let me tell you, he didn't care. No man cares. They care about getting, you know, what they want to get. They don't care about your stomach or your, like, they don't care. Yeah. I promise you. If you find me a man who says he really wanted to take me home, but he told me I had 5 extra pounds or 10 or 20 extra pounds, and so it didn't happen, I'll write you a check on the spot. Right. I'll pay for your next dating app membership for a year if that happens to you.
There you go. There we go. Sorted. I've got that on record. Very, very quickly, we always ask people for. I feel like you've probably already done it. I think you're going to be the first person that's going to say, "Yeah, I've just done this." And also your children are older, but just okay. Imagine if we were giving you a night out, or whatever you want to do, you can stay in, but we'll take the kids off you. They can know what you're going to say. Where would you go? Who would you go with? Like, we could just give you anything you want, basically. What would you want us to give you?
What you know eating? What I really love? I love going out for karaoke with my girlfriends. I love it. I've got the world's worst voice, but I Me think too. It sounds amazing. Every time I sing, I'm like, now everybody's going to know that I actually was just hiding my good voice. And here it
yes!
is. And I know I sound awful. Every word I sing, every third word I sing is wrong. And I have the best time doing it. It makes me so happy. At the end of the day, still being with my girlfriends. I mean, I know that you might think that I would say, like, I'll go to, you know, pick up another man, but I still find spending time with my girlfriends to be the absolute happiest times of my life. So that is actually what I would choose. I would choose a fun night out with my friends.
That comes, I was going to say towards the end of the book, that really comes off that you have such a good friendship and that's so important. And I totally agree with you. Me and Gemma both love karaoke. So,
so fun. If I ever come to England, we'll make a date of it.
Well, will you come back? We always have, but that's the thing about this podcast. We're a revolving door. You can come back. Yeah, would you come
please.
Back?
Well, first of all, yes. Now I'm invested. I feel like I have that going and I'm still waiting for Gemma to give us a deadline. So I'm totally invested and I love talking to you guys. And
Gemma,
I was just going to say in the beginning of the conversation, yeah. I said, I'm so excited to do this podcast because I just really want to laugh. And I did that. So thank you. Thank you for giving me that.
Thank you. Yeah. Laura.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so lovely to talk to you. And everyone should obviously go and buy your book.
Yes, please.
A busy mum and you just want to have it on audio. It's beautifully read, which must be quite a weird thing to do. But and just follow you on Instagram as well, see what you're up to next.
Please, thank you.
I'm gonna do the goodbyes, but don't go. Thank you so much, Gemma, of course. And time frame, go on, Gemma, give us a time frame.
All right, I will have my Tinder profile set up by Wednesday.
Wow!
Okay. Instant gratification.
And
I did not see this coming.
No.
I'm gonna say. I really didn't. This is amazing.
So now when this goes out, I will have to update on the comments where we're at.
I mean, if you want me to look at your profile, if you want me to approve it, it's very nice to have a friend do that. I'd be so happy to do that for you.
It's on my dating coach. Yes,
let me try it out. Maybe that's what I'll do next.
This is what
did I call myself?
Coach, come on,
dirty, cheap, and quick. What am I?
yeah, that's your agency.
That's gonna be my new dating coach tagline. I'm dirty, cheap, and quick.
Love it. I'd follow you. Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Laura. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye,
thank
bye,
you.
Bye, 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 bye. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.